Celebrity Access Now with Rich Williams from Kansas. How are you?
I'm great. Celebrity Access. I'm not really a celebrity. I work for a living.
Well, we love you. You're a rock celebrity. I mean, we wouldn't be the river without Kansas. I think we play you every day. And that's okay with us and our listeners, too. I mean, celebrating 40 years of the Left Overture. That is ridiculous. 40 years, right? I mean, even saying it seems weird.
I know. Yeah, you're getting close to a half a century. how old am I? It's pretty amazing that it's 40 years later, and this is one of the most successful tours we've ever done. We started the Left Overture tour last year, planning on doing 15, 20 dates, and we wound up doing quite a few more than that last year, and now this entire year we're continuing on with it. So it's a long night. It's a 2.5-hour show because we don't just play Left Overture and leave. We have a lot of other stuff to play, a lot of other records. So we represented our whole career, but we also do Left Overture in its entirety.
That's absolutely insane because, I mean, that's like every song people want to hear. Then you've got new stuff and, you know, there's everyone has their own favorite song from their favorite group, obviously. So what's the biggest kick that you get when you see different ages in the crowd when you're playing?
Well, that is exciting in itself because, like Wayward Son was adopted by, why can't I ever remember the name of it? The TV show Supernatural.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my goodness. Yes, you're right. Absolutely.
And so that has added a whole new audience for us because so many kids have discovered us through this show. And so they start finding out more about us. And I've played shows where the whole front rows are just filled with young teens, and they're all singing along to all the songs.
It's pretty cool.
They discovered that, you know, through Supernatural and their own exploration after that. It's pretty amazing to see. Our crowd is younger now than it ever was.
Now, you're playing the Palace Theater in Waterbury December 15th, so we've got some time to go before we get to see you guys live here in Connecticut. But the tickets are on sale today, Friday, June 9th. You can grab them at palacetheaterct.org, palacetheaterct.org. And we've got a little surprise for our River listeners because all next week we're going to have free tickets to your show as well. And I'm really looking forward to highlighting some of your classic tunes. And, you know, now that I have you on the line with me, it'd be kind of cool for you to tell the story behind some of your songs. And I thought maybe you could pick out some stories because I know as an artist, when you guys are writing or working or collaborating, there's always some unique stories behind how those songs get written, produced, and finally out to the public. So is there one that just sort of comes top of mind?
Well, the most obvious one would probably be Dust in the Wind. We were working on the Point of No Return album, and Terry Livgren was just working on a finger-picking exercise. He's trying to teach himself how to do a Travis-style picking. And so trying to get the coordination going, and he just came up with this little chord pattern. And he was just going over that, practicing it. And his wife had mentioned to him, that's really nice. You ought to try to maybe develop a song out of that. And it was like, we don't do anything like that. We're not, you know, Peter, Paul, and Mary. It's kind of goes back to the Smothers Brothers here, or Seeger or something. It's not we're an electric rock and roll band. And she said, no, it's pretty nice. And Terry thought about it, and he happened to be reading a book on American Indian philosophy, basically. And that was what inspired the lyrics for it. And he just had brought it to rehearsals as we were working up the Point of Return album. He said, well, I've got another song here. We probably won't do it. It's not anything like what we do. And he had a rough recording of it on a tape recorder, and he played it. And it was like, I remember Dave Hope said, where has this song been? And we all heard it right away. We just heard a great song. I just said, you know, this will be our next single. And so Now we get in the studio and you start assembling the song. We didn't, it's just acoustic and the violin section in the middle and lyrics. So but it wasn't until we started assembling it in the studio that the song really came to full fruition. I hadn't done much acoustic finger picking at the time. I had, all the picking I'd done previously was with metal banjo picks because I had taken some banjo lessons. And so I recorded the entire track in Nashville. And it was it went well, but in the old days of recording, you know, you couldn't, you know, cut and paste, copy and paste, anything like that. You had to do it in its entirety. And with just an acoustic, you couldn't punch anything in because it would be so audible. So I had to play it perfectly throughout. Excuse me. And so, but it's also, it's, there's four tracks of guitars there. So I had to get it right, and then I had to get it right again and again and again because it's doubled. This is my Martin, and then it's on top of that, it's called a Nashville tuning, which is just the high strings of a 12-string. And so I do that, and then there's a nylon string, and all that is blended together to get that particular sound on of Dust in the Wind. Well, the next day, I walk into the studio and everybody's hanging their head, and I thought, oh no. Once in a while, like, you could make a mistake on the old 24 tracks and actually hit record and completely erase part of a song. I thought, oh no, they did it. But no, what it was you know, sit down and listen. Oh, this sounds great, but you saw, in the background you can hear this weird clacking. It's, and what it was the sound of the metal picks, the banjo picks, attacking the strings. And when you had all four of them together, it sounded like Clydesdales were dancing in the background. And so I had to do it again. I had to re-record all of that. So the next day I spent re-recording it all with just my flesh. I didn't have calluses on my fingers at the time because I'd been using those picks. So my fingers were bleeding by the time we were done.
Oh my goodness. Well,
so that's how that song came about, was really just a finger picking exercise that Carrie turned into the biggest single we ever had.
And to this day, relevant. Now, I know I don't have a whole lot of time with you, but I do want to remind people that you're coming to the Palace December 15th. Tickets on sale today, and you can get a link to buying tickets on our sites at theriver1059.com, as well as we're giving away tickets, too, which we're really excited about. But let's talk quickly about two things. Number one, you have new music out there that people can hear. Talk about that process and you know, kind of creating something fresh and new in this day and age.
Steve Walsh retired a little more than 2 years ago. And when it was kind of a sudden announcement, he had had enough. You know, he poured his guts on every stage on the planet for 40 years, and it was getting hard for him to do it. He was losing the desire to do it. His voice was failing him, and he just didn't have the drive anymore. But the rest of us did, and we weren't going to quit. We weren't sure what we were going to do. Ronnie Platt was a singer that I'd seen sing with a band called Shooting Star out of Kansas City. And he was my first choice. So, and he contacted me and said, well, I just heard that Steve had retired, and I just want to throw my hat in the ring. And kind of that was it. Phil and I brought him down to Atlanta, which is where we're based out of, to interview him. It wasn't an audition because we knew he could sing. He was a great entertainer, but we didn't know what kind of guy he was. And with it, when hiring a musician, you never know what you're going to get, and especially a lead singer. You know, they have lead singer's disease.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, really, it was a personality check to see what are we getting into here. And he was just we're all from the Midwest, and so is Ronnie. He's from Chicago. He was just one of us. It was a really quick, easy fit. We talked for about 4 hours, sent him home, called the next day, said, you're in the band. And 2 weeks later, we were on the road.
That sounds too easy.
We were moving quick. And the story sounds easier than it was.
Oh, okay.
We were off and running. So, and now Ronnie is, he's a very strong, healthy singer. He can sing a lot. So suddenly we're working a lot more than we were before. We're doing, instead of 60 shows a year, we're doing 90 to 100 a year.
I mean, at this point, though, this is where I put my personal spin on somebody else's story. I would think, like, Kansas, like, if you guys never put out another new thing ever again, you'd still be just as awesome as you are right now. And you guys could be, like, sipping drinks with umbrellas, toes in the sand, never having to work. So, but I imagine that this is, like, you have to play music. Like, you have to get out there. Like, you can't not do this. You know what I mean? But I always think, like, gosh, if I was an awesome rock band or star and I made it, just forget it. I just go be sitting on the beach somewhere and let somebody else make new music.
Well, yeah, that is the illusion. First of all, we signed the worst record contract in the world when we first signed on. So, I mean, if I had all the money that I should have gotten from, and the band should have gotten from those early recordings, we would all be living in castles. But, you know, I live very simply. Our bread and butter has always been on the road.
Yeah.
So you will not see, you know, the cribs of the rich and famous. You won't see me on that. Yeah, we actually work for a living. And
oh dear.
But you know, if I won the lottery tomorrow, I would still do this. This is I do this because I love to do it. I was born to do this. This is my passion, and so. I'm not looking forward to the days where I can retire and sit on the beach and stare at the water. I have friends that have retired that I used to play in bands with. They've spent the last 30 years in the workforce. They've retired, and now they're back in a band.
Yeah, because I think it's something that you physically and mentally have to do, because you've been given a gift that's not – I mean, I know we see a lot of musicians out there and a lot of bands that travel and things like that, but it really is a gift when you have that certain connection, like a classic band – like Kansas, and you know, to create new music, to still be out on the road, to be relevant, to have all ages still appreciate your body of work is a compliment and a true testament to what you've given back to the music industry. And you know, I would be very remiss if I didn't say, when the heck is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame going to acknowledge this?
Well, we're in good company. There's a lot of great bands that aren't in it.
That's true.
We thought about starting the Not in the Hall of Fame Hall of Fame.
I think that's I'll vote in that category. How's that? I'll be a part of that one. But you know, I hate to wrap this interview up because I'm obviously speaking to a legend on the phone right now. Rich, thank you so much for spending some of your time with us here today. Kansas coming to our state on December 15th. So you've got time to plan. Save the date, but the tickets on sale today. And we are going to make sure you win some free tickets here all next week on the River 105.9. But again, if you want to buy your tickets, I suggest you do them now because I think they're going to go quick at the Palace Theater. So palacetheaterct.org. So thank you so much for your music. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope that when you come to town, you'll maybe come visit us.
You never know. I have to see the schedule. I never know how busy I'm going to be until I get there.
Well, we have time to plan.
That's true.
We have time to plan. All right, my friend. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.